the page Samech Ches, the end of Perek Yud Aleph, the Eretz HaTorah. Seif Ches, what we learned last week, ended with the Vedavish Shalaykin by Misrapim. Vedavish Shalaykin by Misrapim. Misrapim. And we were learning how the Torah has the ability to heal. That's the true healing of a Jew. Is Torah. If we would be on the Madrega, that we were supposed to be, like the Ramban says, we wouldn't bechlal have to be Isaac in medicine and doctors and so on. But the Torah is a refuah. And Sif Tes continues with that. It's based upon a pasuk in Mishlei. You see, it's brought down there in the note. Pasuk in Mishlei in the Gemara. The pasuk in Mishlei is Kichayim Heim Lemaitz Ehem Uchol Besaray Marpe. Again, Kichayim Heim Lemaitz Ehem. That means the Torah gives life Lemaitz Ehem to all those who are Lemaitz Ehem, who speak, who utter the words of Torah. Torah brings life. Ki chayim heim lemoitz eihem. Uchol besoro, and to all of a person's flesh, to one's entire body, marpe. It brings healing. That's what Shlomo Melech says. Ki chayim heim lemoitz eihem, uchol besoro marpe. The Gemara there tells us that chash b'roishoy, if a person has a headache, yasik b'tayr, that he should learn tayr. Which we see by a lot of people is the opposite. They have a headache, then they can't learn. The Gemara says the best medicine for a headache, yasik b'tayr, is chash l'b'roishoy, yasik b'tayr. Then the Gemara goes on, chash b'groinoy, if you have a sore throat. So what's the cure for the sore throat? Guess what? Yasik b'tayr. Chash b'meyav, you have a stomachache, yasik b'tayr. So I have, I remember when we were kids, so there was I was once in this camp, in this sleepaway camp. It was a crazy place. But I don't want to talk about that now. but it was, in those days, no matter what was wrong, you went to the place, the infirmary was like some old rabbis, was the infirmary. I never saw her move. I remember she sat in a chair outside this dilapidated room, and no matter what happened, no matter what you when you came, you were sick. Whatever happened to you, she gave you this thing called aspirin gum, which in those days there was this aspirin that was in a chewing gum. This is a miser from ready, 46, 47 years ago. There was an aspirin that the kids would take that was in a gum. And I remember when I got to her, first of all, she didn't speak English. When I got to her, she didn't ask me what was wrong. She just says, "Nem." She gave me, like, she slipped me some of these gums to take. So it didn't make a difference what was wrong with you. I could have had a broken leg. She says, "Nem." And she gives you an aspirin gum. So what does that mean? It says, "Chashlai b'roisha, you have a headache." "Nem." It means tyra. Then you say, "Oh, today something else is bothering me. What's bothering you?" Says chashlei b'meyav, my stomach is hurting me. Oh, no. Use the same Gemara. Chashlei b'groin, my throat is hurting me. Can you help me? No. Take a piece of a Tosafos of a Rambam. So the Maral talks about this. What kind of thing is that? Normally, every single thing needs its own refuah. It needs a certain specific mahalach of what to do about that. And yet, the Gemara says, Kichaim brings the pasuk. Kichaim heim lemotzeiim. Ulchol b'sara marpe. The Torah, the Maral calls it. It's a refuah klolis. It's a refuah klolis. Whatever's bothering you, and from where the Gemara gets that from the pasuk. Ulchol b'sara marpe. Ulchol b'sara. Whatever's wrong with you. Whatever's bothering you, l'chol b'sarai marpe. And the Gemara there says, "Shaloi k'midas Hakadosh Baruch Hu midas b'asav adam." The Gemara says that Hashem is different than Basar Adam. Midas Basar Adam. The Mida of a human being is Adam Nisan Sam Lachaveru Lizayafu Lizakasha. That when you give medicine to a person, when you give medicine, so for this person, it's good. And for the other person, it's not good. That's not what his inyan is. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. Nosan Tar Li Yisrael Sam Chayim L'chol Gufay. Normally, with the boss of Adam, you give to a person that's good for him, it's not good for somebody else. And even for that person, it helps him with this problem that he's having. It doesn't help him with a different problem. But Shaloi Kamidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas, Shaloi Kamidas boss of Adam means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different. That what? So the Gemara says, Nosan Tar Li Yisrael Sam Chayim L'chol Gufay. Hashem gave the Torah to us, Sam Chayim L'chol Gufay. It cures everything. It works for every Jew. And no matter whatever it is that's hurting that Jew, obviously, the Gemara is not talking about not taking me on a deeper level. It is, as I said, if you'd be on the highest madrega, that's all you would need. But it doesn't mean that the Torah says, a rapper, that a person can seek medical help and so on. But the Torah has this koach of l'chol b'saray marpe. And that's what Rav Kook is explaining here. Hatarhi refuah klawless siftas. Hatarhi refuah klawless l'chol b'saro. The Torah's refuah klawless l'chol b'saro. It's a general refuah. It's a remedy for everything. Misakenes ba'imik es kol achayim kulam. That means that in a very deep and mysterious way, the Torah, Liman HaTorah, again, Lishma, addresses all of the problems of life. Every single thing in life. The Torah reaches every single part of who we are. Al Yidei Hisrabus Tziyurei HaTorah. That through increasing the siyurim, meaning the one's images of Torah, meaning one's connection to learning, ideas rabbis siyurei haTorah, v'or chayah, and not just the learning of Torah, but the light of her life, meaning living with one's learning. Nis'ala ha'adam v'olam kula. Somehow it brings an aliyah. Nis'ala ha'adam on the most basic level. Nis'ala ha'adam v'ha'olam kulay. So it's not just the person that's learning. That's for sure. It's not just the person who's learning. But there's an aliyah that somehow arachay nis'ala ha'adam v'ha'olam kulay. Like the Svar HaKadoshim say, the Agi Yisrael, how the Tzadikim explain. What the Pasuk says, if we wouldn't learn Torah, chukas shemayim v'aretz leisamti. If not for learning Torah, then chukas shemayim v'aretz leisamti. Then the world wouldn't be able to exist. So, learning Torah is not only a refuah for the person who's learning, but it infuses life into everything. Misal ha'adam ha'olam kulay. B'loy or ha'tayra, without the light of Torah, b'chol ha'moin ha'chazyaynas, v'rikshe ha'yira v'hatfila. But again, Rav Kook says it's not just the intellect, we're not talking about the intellectual thing of just understanding what you're learning. But b'loy or ha'tayra, the light of Torah, b'chol ha'moin ha'chazyaynas, the multitude of, chazyaynas means visions, of insight and visions, doesn't mean nevuah, but it means of understanding and insight that Torah brings. V'rigshei ha'yira v'hatfila, and great emotions of yirish shamayim, v'rigshei ha'yira v'hatfila, and how through Torah one feels a greater need to daven and a greater connection to davening. This is a very big sugya, the Torah and Tefillah. We're not going into that now. He talks about it more later on. Yuchal haraya lias munach v'chayser. Yuchal haraya lias munach v'chayser ba'olam. Malas ba'osh v'gvaynai. It's possible, he says, b'loy or ha'tayra, without the light of Torah, b'chol ha'mayinach as yonis v'ikshah yir v'atfilah, without the light of Torah penetrating and bringing us to all of these insights and visions and yir shemayim and davening, without that, yuchol ha'roy le'es munach v'chayisab olam. Evil can just sit, yil'es munach v'chayisar, and can creep in and penetrate into everything in the world. Can make the world sick. Evil is a sickness, and it's very, very contagious. It's very powerful, and without the light of Torah, with all that Torah brings, yuchal hara lias munach v'chayis ba'olam. Evil can go unchecked, can be uncontrolled, and could be chayis ba'olam. It could infect, to penetrate into the world, and creep into everything, and infect the world. Marlis Balsh of Yagvina, to bring out the stench and everything that's rotten and ruined through evil emerges, comes out in the world without the Koach of Torah. Afal Pisha has Spilus Anafshis Vahifas Agiluyim Tia Gedoyla Vahisana. It's hard to understand. Even though Afal Pisha his spilus anavshis, that the spilus, the excitement, the spilus anavshis, the emotional, even though emotional excitement, spilus anavshis, how fast hagilim tegedala veisana. I think the Rav Kook is saying that. Let's just try to translate this into regular. I could be totally wrong about this. I think what he's saying, I mean, I could totally be wrong about everything that we've ever learned over here, but here I'm more afraid of that than usual, that I think what he's saying is that there could be tremendous hispailus and anafshis. People are dedicated, are devoted to all kinds of causes. You know, evil is something which, for many people, good people are upset by evil, not just B'nai Torah, not just people who are learning Torah and understand Torah, but people are upset about evil. When bad things happen, there's a hispilus, it causes us to become disgusted and sick with what's evil in the world. And all good people feel disgusted and fed up with evil. And that has caused many, many good, wonderful institutions to be built and laws to be passed that are a response to the evil of the world. So the Maisa happened in Boston a couple of weeks ago, that these Rishonim, they went and they were blowing up people. So there's a very strong hispilus that good people had from that, and then people start to scream stronger about the, you know, gun control and about this, you know, people want very much to stop the flow of evil. People don't want that. People want to stop the flow of evil. So there's a hispilus hanafshis that takes place as a reaction to the evil of the world. Well, that's good, but Rav Kook, I think, is saying, Afal Pisha Hispilus Anafshis and Vahifas Hagiluyim Tia Gedoyla Veisana. You know, there's a powerful gilui of will and of longing to stop the flow of evil in the world, and it causes a tremendous reaction on the part of decent people. Omnam Lefi Amida Shatar Mischaberes Al Haifa. However, if Torah is not connected to that emotion, that desire for good, to the degree that the truth of Torah is connected to that appearance, that awakening of will to eradicate evil, to control evil, unless the Torah connects to that awakening. It's not going to change. It's only the fiamidah shaturns chaberes laifa, to the degree that the Torah connects to that mizgala tuva v'yifas kodesh. It's able to be mizgala, to be revealed, the toiv of Torah and the flow of holiness, the outpouring of holiness. V'shem shamayim miskadesh, and the shem shamayim is miskadesh. Ugvuras hakodesh oisa chayil, and through Torah, the strength of holiness oisa chayil can make a difference. Oisa chayil, loosely translated, can be successful through that truth of Torah. Gvuras hakodesh oisa chayil. So all of the good movements, institutions, and so on that have been created to fight evil are, even they're better than not having, and they're good, and but at best they're only temporary and partial cures to the sickness of the world. And the greatest sickness of the world is evil. Torah is refuah klalus. Torah is the refuah to all of the sicknesses of the individual and the sickness of the world, which is evil. So therefore, Rav Kook seems to be saying that in the absence of Torah, no matter how strong these responses are to evil, no matter what kind of emotions and feelings of horror and of disgust evil evokes in people and in mankind, the cure cannot take place without Torah. The cure can't take place. It's only through Torah. But again, so you ask, what do you mean through Torah? So people are sitting alone. He said, it means, Rav Kook is talking about Torah Lishma. But you know that the big tzaddikim were Isaac and all kinds of tikkunim for the world bechlal in their learning. Not just for themselves, but tikkunim for the entire world. They bring refuahs and yeshuas to the entire world. And Shem Shemayim is Miskadesh, and Gvuras HaKadesh Isachal. Then the great strength and power of holiness can march forward in the world, can change things in the world. Rav Kook was talking from such a mountaintop, it's hard for people like us to relate to a lot of these things that he's talking about. And in Yud, he continues, Hatzimon shahaneshom mishtekekes l'shemus ha'klalus. The thirst that the soul has, the thirst and longing that the soul has for perfection, that the world should be perfect, for the person's perfection, and for the shleimus of and for the shleimus ha'klalus, the shleimus ha'klalus of the neshama, and bechlal for shleimus. This simon, this thirst, this longing, is mishtabehu b'chol ha'or ruchani shabala, is strengthened through any spiritual light that enters the soul. Any little piece of ruchnius that enters the soul strengthens the great longing for perfection. So when a person learns more and davens more and is Isaac and mitzvahs and masim toivim, any he'or of ruchnius that enters the person increases the longing for shleimus, strengthens the great longing for more and more and more and more. And that's true to some degree. It sounds like Rav Kook is saying it's true to some degree by all of mankind. That any ruchnias, any toiv that penetrates into the soul increases and strengthens one's desire for greatness, for perfection. That's a truth. That's a universal truth that applies to everybody. Aval hatzimon hamiyuchad shel hashleimus hayisraelis. However, the unique longing and thirst for shleimus hayisraelis, for the shleimus of a Jew, shemevakeshes es tafkida, where the person, each and every one of us, has within us a neshama that's desperately longing to carry out its mission in this world, its shlichus in this world. When it comes to that tzimon of a Jew, einu mishtaber kim ayidei milu shel Torah, there can only be ischaskus, and at the same time of the ischaskus and the longing for perfection, that longing can also, there can also be a feeling of the thirst being satisfied and quenched. That's only through filling one's life with Torah. Kim ayde milu shel Torah, only by filling oneself with Torah can there be the never-ending longing for shleimus and a feeling of satisfaction that the person is on the right track, and with that the push and the drive for more and more shleimus, that's only through Torah. Perek Yud Beis. Now we were learning at the end of Yud Aleph, how Torah brings a refuah to the world, not just to the one who's learning, but to the entire world. So here the parak begins where the last parak left off. Hatara achuzehi beruach Yisrael. Hatara achuzehi beruach Yisrael. The Torah is bound to the ruach of Am Yisrael. But that ruach Yisrael hamufshat humolei kol. But the soul, the ruach of Yisrael, is connected, is attached to all of creation. Remember, Reishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim Ves Haaretz B'Shvil Yisrael. So all of creation is bound and depends upon Ruach Yisrael. We're going to be talking much more about this in Mitzvah the Shabbos Shirim. But the entire world is bound to Ruach Yisrael. And wherever the Ruach of Am Yisrael moves, the whole world moves. Ruach Yisrael hamushat humolei kol. The Ruach of Yisrael, meaning hamushat, not attached to the body, but the Ruach Yisrael is molei kol, fills all of creation. Or Elokim, the light of Hashem, Teudas Havaya, the fate or the job of all creation, of all existence, Makor HaNeshamos, the source of all souls. That's the Ruach Yisrael. HaTorah K'shemiz Gaberes, when the Torah is strengthened, K'sheyidiyosa Misracheves, and the knowledge of Torah expands, K'sheira Mazir, when the light of Torah is shining, K'sherikshay Seha Misamkim the kerev kol neshama, the feelings, the emotions of tired, become deeper and deeper inside each and every one of us, inside the neshama. Ha'ayur ha'lukis misbashetas yaseh b'aylam. The Or of Hashem is able to spread forth more to the entire world. So when we're learning in the yeshivas, in the Bat Midrashim, in our homes, wherever we're learning, so that Or is mispashet to the entire world. Ha'or ha'lukis, I mean, it depending upon, again, when it's ba'aymek and it's lishma, then that light is mispashet Yosef Olam, and Miss Haderes Umis Allah. And the light of Torah itself, by illuminating existence, the light of Torah has, the Torah itself becomes brighter and stronger and greater through that Hashpa. V'chol Olam Kulay Miss Allah. And the entire world is elevated through the aliyah of those yechidim, of those individuals of exalted spirit who are sitting and learning Torah Lishma. The whole world is Mis'ala. Beis. You're moving quickly, it's hard. These are all things that Rav Kook was living with and feeling. It's, sometimes we just have to try to translate and to appreciate. Beis, derech eretz kadma l'tayra. Now the Torah wasn't given right away. There were 26 generations before Matan Torah, and during those 26 generations, the world was, in some obvious but more mysterious ways, the world was preparing for Har Sinai. The world was preparing for Kabbalat Torah. In order for the Torah to be able to be received by mankind, there had to be 26 generations of Derech Eretz. So we read the stories in Sefer Bereishis, and we read about the Avos and the Imahos and the Shvatim, and we try to understand from learning these stories and from on a deeper and deeper level, we try to understand the essential nature of man. Many times we've spoken about the fact that Rabbi Chaim Vital asked, why is it that we don't find the Torah commanding us regarding midas? The Torah doesn't say, it says in general, v'halachta b'drachav, to go on Hashem's ways, but we don't find that there's specific tzivuyim when it comes to laziness, and simcha, and kas, and anger, and so on. We don't find it. We find the psukim and all over Tanakh that are referring to these things, but we don't find in the Sefer Mitzvahs, we don't have Alach the Bedroch, we don't have, so there, from there we learn Mahu Racham, but we don't have clear, direct Sivuyim commandments when it comes to Midas. Rabbi Chaim Vital said that the Torah is only talking to a human being. The Torah is not talking to an animal. The Heretz Kadmon Torah means the Torah can talk to you if you're a human being. If you're a behemoth, the Torah, you're not going to get it. So, Hilchas Deis, Chabas Lavavis, Menschlichkeit, and so on, all that are revealed in Sefer Bereishis, which is also called the Sefer Hayosher, or Hayoshel Yesharim, of the Avos. And the Sif talks about this in his Akdama, Tahamik Dava. All of that work in Derech Eretz creates the kli into which the Torah can now, into which the Torah can be poured. When you have when you have a Bal Derech Eretz, so that Bal Derech Eretz is a Klal Kibul for Torah. One would like to argue that, well, maybe through Torah I can become a Bal Derech Eretz. Isn't that the point? That through Torah I'll become, through mitzvahs I'll become a Bal Derech Eretz. But we see the state of creation was not like that. The state of creation, there were 26 generations of chesed, that Hashem was zonis ha'olam, that Hashem sustained the world with chesed. Olam chesed yibana. It corresponds to 26 hod l'Hashem ki tov ki lo'olam chazda. Those 26 hod l'Hashem ki tov ki lo'olam chazda correspond to the 26 generations that the world was not worthy of existence because there was no Torah. So what was the esek of those 26 generations? Like what was the tachlis of those 26 generations? That the whole creation is only for Torah. So what was the delay? So Chazal say that if it could have been the Torah would have been, instead of the marble, that would have been could have been Matan Torah at that time. But the problem at that time was Hishchus Kol Basar, is that we became like animals. So because the world lost its direction, so the Torah couldn't be given at that time. And instead there was a Chorban. And then there were 26 generations to develop the natural inclination of the Tzelem Elokim to be kind and honest and hard working. All of the midas of the others and the Shvat. Those years were the years of developing the koiches of Derech Eretz Kodma L'Torah. So first there needs to be a metzias of a human being, a metzias of mankind. And into that world where there are human beings, the Torah can be chal. The Torah can descend into a world of human beings. But there wouldn't be much of a Maimon HaSinai if you gather together all the animals in the zoo and you say, Chavra, we're having a big thing now. And all the animals will say, what's going on? Anoich HaShem HaKach. Sometimes a teacher can feel that when you walk into a classroom. Like, the Rebbe gets up there and he comes with all kinds of beautiful things to say over. And all kinds of stuff going on. And there's no, who's he talking to? There's no Derech Eretz. If there's no Derech Eretz, then there's no Klei Kibul for Torah. Period. The Torah doesn't penetrate into a place without Derech Eretz. That's why it's an amazing thing. You could have a kid that grew up in a frum home. He's bechlal not about Derech Eretz, and he's been exposed to 10, 15, 20 years of yeshiva. And over the years, he's got some information. Just even if you don't want to, you have to get something. But the tzimon that Rav Kook was talking about at the end of the last parak, it's you could have a guy that's a bal tshuva. That didn't learn. Was a moridik about Derech Eretz, like you see by most of the Balei Tshuva. I haven't met in all the years a Balei Tshuva that's not about Derech Eretz. It's an interesting thing. It's not good to say anything that should be a kitur, God forbid, against Jews, but I think everybody knows that it's not a secret. As much as we would like to keep it a secret, but the form of the tzura of the school that you go into, usually, the less Derech Eretz. I don't feel good saying that, I don't know if I could use the word that that's the metzias, but my own experiences, and I think talking to teachers and seeing what goes on, I mean, there are some exceptions in a particular class. If the Rebbe's got a handle on things, sometimes he's able to bring it under control, but it's pretty bad. The Derech Eretz situation is pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And There's a street that I was going. It was in Borough Park, and I was going. I had to go down the street, and there's a cheder over there. And I came very slowly to have this thing opened up, because you have to let the cars through, and I was going very slowly. And the boys would not move. They were playing ball. They had recess or something. And I'm sitting with the car. I don't want to beep. I don't want to scare anybody. I'm just sitting with the car. And then guys start to pound on my hood. Crazy, you know, stuff. And I get out of the car. So they see right away, Mislam, I'm a Balshiva, because I don't speak fluent Yiddish or anything like that. But I say, you know, fellas, what do you say, move over just for 10 seconds? You know, hold the game. Let me get through with the car. I start making jokes and all kinds of things. And there was a Rebbe standing there on the side. I don't know, the Rebbe didn't seem to be too interested in this whole thing. Okay, the boys moved over, but it was like a whole experience, just getting through. What went wrong? And again, I'm not just saying because it's Borough Park, it's ridiculous. This has nothing to do with whether it's Chassidim or it's Litvish, whether it's Ashkenaz or Sa'ad. Something is wrong. Okay, I have to try to figure that out, what went wrong with the Derech Eretz. You find me that should happen by 10 Balei Tshuva. That they'll stand on the street like this and they'll start pounding on your car. There won't be such a thing. Even if they're a little Balei Tshuva. There won't be such a thing. So what does it have to do? Does it have to do with manners? Does it have to do with education, worldliness? I don't know. That's something that can be debated and people talk about all the time, try to figure out what's going on. But you ask a teacher that's been in a Haredish school, the more Haredish the school is, I don't want Lapid to hear this, but the more Haredish the school is, usually the more problems you have with Derech Eretz. So Derech Eretz problems everywhere. But you see this a lot. You know, I know it doesn't sound nice to say, but people who are teaching in the schools, especially English teachers, will tell you that it's unbelievable. If you're teaching English in a cheder someplace, you don't have to go to Gehenna after that. You're ready. You're putter. When you get to the gate, you just show easy pass. It has the name of the school and the address, and they tell you, come on. You go right to Gan Eden. You don't have to have an easy pass. You were teaching. You taught social studies in Puppa. Come on, you're in. Meaning not in Gan. You're in Olam Haba. Come right in. You're ready. We're there. You don't need to go anywhere else. And I don't mean to say it's not nice to say bad about, because the kids are beautiful kids. The Jewish children are beautiful children. But the Derech Eretz is something that their Derech Eretz is.
Where does Derech Eretz start? In the home or in the school?
Where does it start? It starts at home. Everything starts at home. It could be that it's getting ruined someplace. I don't know. Again, I don't have a good explanation of this. I have a lot of theories, and we've tried to talk about these inyanim together to try to understand. And I'm by no means saying that there are huge problems in places which we talk about a lot also that are not like that. That are, let's say, more modern places, a different type. But the inyan of Derech Eretz, is the specialty, is the frumer. There usually is a trend that there are exceptions, but I'm afraid to say it shouldn't be. But the trend is that the frumer the tzura on the outside, the bigger the problem with Derech Eretz.
It could be that they felt close to you because you're
heimish.
When I go through those streets, they all run from like a block away.
You go through 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour. They're jumping for their lives, Yeshua. I go very slowly. I hope you look back to see no one's on the attire.
You probably went down the same street I went. They closed that street for recess, the yeshiva. They closed
it. No, I know, of course they closed it.
And they get very upset They feel that they own that street, and they get very upset when anybody else...
Yeah, I know. So where does that come from, the feeling that you own the block also?
I was driving down one Arab Pesach when I did the pumpkin Pesach stuff.
Yeah.
I was in a truck, and I was driving down, they did the same thing to me.
Yeah.
And they didn't expect that a Jewish person was getting out of the truck. They figured they...
So, okay, there are good experiences, there are bad experiences. I'm not talking Yeshua, so then if they see that you don't have a beard and payas, then maybe they'll have more derech eretz. I don't know what the rules are, because I carry my beard and payas wherever I go. So I don't know what the rules are. But the general trend is, if you talk to people who are in schools, that's where you see the ones who are teaching and dealing with it and so on. I think there's a general trend that derech eretz is a Their house is a huge challenge in the yeshiva. It's a huge challenge. One second, Linda. So their house kadmah Torah. You could see a remarkable thing that you could have a person who's learning Torah his whole life, and it doesn't seem to have changed. Like he seems to be the same kind of person. So he was a little mechutzav, now he's a big mechutzav. And then you find the person that and it's a pella. They didn't learn Torah his entire life. He wasn't from his entire life. And you see this has edelkeit and a refinement, and then he's a sponge. Every word of Torah that he receives is yizal katalim rasi hazino shamayav adaber mamish. Every word that he absorbs, every word, and he drinks every word with thirst. I don't know how the problem got started. I don't know, but this is clear. A klal the cheres kadam l'tayrim. If it's not a mensch, then he's not a clay kibble for Torah. It's not a clay kibble for Torah. Doesn't make a difference. Again, he might know Torah, and he might be able to rattle off some Gemaras, but it doesn't seep in unless you're a clay. It doesn't fill you. It fills you if you're about Derech Eretz. If you're not about Derech Eretz, the Torah doesn't fill you. It could get on the walls, and it can come out from the top, and you know a lot of, and you can know a lot, but it doesn't make you into an elevated person. Into a great person, into a tzaddik, if you're not a bal derech eretz. The trademark of all the tzaddikim is that they're bal derech eretz, the merdeka bal derech eretz. The biggest kalim, they're the biggest kalim to receive Torah. It was the edelkeit, the refinement, the kindness, the midas tivus. So, what does it mean when the yeshiva advertises that we're going to teach your kid midas tivus? I don't know. How do you teach that, and what does that mean? That's a big chachma, and what they mean by that. I mean, what they mean by that is to try to increase the tuition, and the enrollment. But what is exactly the problem? I don't know. But there is a clear correlation between derech eretz and Torah that Chazal tells. Derech eretz chatan l'Torah. So the disappointment is that dafka in a place where there should be where there's more Torah, there should be more Torah, and so on. Oftentimes there's less derech eretz. And therefore the Torah is not somehow making its way into the person's kishkas, so that you could have a person that might know how to learn, but he could be dishonest in business. He doesn't see anything. There's not even a slightest feeling of any kind of a problem. So he learns, but he is not honest. So what does it mean? There's no connection between one and the other. Which also, there are things that are taken for granted. In Fruma neighborhoods that are dishonest, cheating and lying with the government and so on, that in places where they're not as Frum, these things are not as taken for granted, dishonesty and lying and cheating and so on. It's a sad truth. I know it's politically incorrect to talk about it, and we don't read about these things really in our Frum magazines and newspapers, but that's the Metzius, you know. And it needs to be addressed, but that's the Messias. Without their heretz, the Torah doesn't make its way in. So the question is, how do I change the der heretz? What do we do about the der heretz? Okay, that's a big malach. What do we do about the der heretz? I don't know. I'm sorry, Linda, what do you want to say?
Oh, those kids in Brooklyn have no room to play. They're squeezed, and that's part of the problem.
Okay, good. So limud school, so you understand. But
they have, if they have place. A lot of those schools have no place for those kids, and they have to run.
Because not their height, they should be running all. They should enjoy themselves.
What I'm saying is,
that doesn't mean that you sit on a car and start pounding on the car in the trunk.
They're very frustrated all the time, those kids.
Okay, they're frustrated in East New York also, in Bedford Stuyvesant. We don't use that as an excuse for a human being to be low derechatz. I'm sorry.
Of course.
I don't go for that. That's not the panemius of the thing. People, the same chevra, if they have more room to run around, you think that they become bal derech eretz? I agree, the kids need a place to run. But you think that's the answer, that they don't have enough room, that's why they're acting that way? It's one of the smallest of the things. A big person can be a big person in a small place. A small person has no room in a big place, you understand? That's just how life is. If you're a small person, it doesn't make a difference how big the place is. You can put him into a tremendous, tremendous building, and they're still with the screaming and yelling and carrying on. I don't believe that at all. That's not the answer at all.
You mentioned a few weeks ago that some Ravadan that feel the same way, they act the same way, maybe the kids, they feel like they're little Torah, they're such high Madrega, and unfortunately it backfires.
I don't know if it comes with Sinas. Most of the rebellion are wonderful, delicious, sweet, good, kind people that give over the most beautiful things. That's the vast majority of the rebellion.
There's a certain feeling of,
it could be a feeling of entitlement. I don't know where it comes from. There's definitely a feeling of familiarity. That goes back to what Yehoshua was saying, that when they see a guy that looks like one of their own, so there's a feeling of familiarity, like, you know, he's one of the gang. So, and when it's somebody that's different, so they would act differently. But I don't know if that has been proven to be true on any kind of a regular basis. If you ask again the teachers that are going to teach in the schools, whether they see that, I don't know. But there is something about that familiarity that causes. It causes a feeling of being too comfortable. It has to do with, these are all nakudas, but there's a much bigger problem that hasn't been, I don't see being addressed, of like, you know, what's going on? Like, what are you acting this way? Why are you acting this way? What's going on? Why aren't you behaving? Why aren't our children behaving? So it's the house, it's the school, it's the street, it's must be, of course, the final answer at the end of the day is one thing. What's that?
The internet.
The internet. All, who said it?
Binyamin.
Right. That's the answer to everything. That's the machla haklolas. So whenever you can't explain something, or you're too nervous about trying to get to the bottom of it, so then you all you have to say is that it's the internet. And right. There's a reason for all of this stuff.
Right. Doesn't it go back to Har Sinai? We were mapping Nisa before Nishma, and Nas is the Chukim, and Nishma is the Mishpatim. So maybe we have a stronger focus on Chukim and less of a.
Yeah, like the Tzaddikim say that there's a Tzaddik that said that if there wouldn't be any Din Shulchan Aruch that you can't steal from a guy. If it would be a minig in Babav not to steal from, there'd be a minig above of a minig not to steal from Goyim, then nobody would do it. If it would be above of a minig. The problem is that the second the Bnei Shalom said it says Loi Signaiv, he messed it up. He should never have written the Ten Commandments. He should have just written Minhage Sinai, Sefer Minhagim. Or to not even do that, forget about the whole Har Sinai thing, just make different yeshivas, make different rabbis and different chassidus and different yeshivas and so on, different groups, and say that these are the minhagim of Kamarna, leisignayv, leistetzach. These are the minhagim of Kamarna. It's a Kamarna minig, and a Kamarna enikel. Ooh, I'm a Kamarna enikel. I'm not going to steal. It says it's written in the old Kamarna rabbi didn't said the old Kamarna rabbi didn't steal. I'm a Kamarna enikel. I don't steal. If it would be in the Minhagim, then nobody would steal. The problem is the Bnei Shalom wrote it on the Seres Adibris. That's the problem. It says Loi Signai. It's Loi Signai. That's not. But that's close to what it's true. Loi Signai. It's not a minig. It's a deraisa. If it be a minig, that would be something. Like, if it be a minig, that would be something. Sorry, Avram, you wanted to say something?
Avram C. Kluger has his. Speaks about that in a different level. This week on Shavuos, that going to a chasana and talking to your friends right through the chuppah, as people are saying, "Birchas Hashem Kedishon," and going to the core of existence, Bris Oilo, and people can schmooze and talk, it shows that they've separated from the core.
What do you mean that people could talk? The guy is standing up there, the guy is standing up by the chuppah, the guy that works for the caterer or something, the chosn and kala have kindly requested for everybody to turn. The chosn and kala says, I didn't request anybody to turn off their cell phone. The chosn and kala have come, would you find that, you'd only find that by unzu mention. What if first is a thing that you have to, chosn and kala request everybody to turn off their cell phone. Chosn and kala, anyway, they go off. And then somebody runs out talking in the middle of the chuppah on the thing, loud. Yeah, I'm going to get the milk. I'm going to pick up the milk. Runs out from the chuppah. And the whole surah of our life, of what a life without derech eretz, on the most basic level of what it means to be dignified. Again, we're not talking about chalila, the majority, but there's a loud minority. And that loud minority has brought terrible shame upon us. I wonder what these goyim talk about. Like when they get home, they say, "I was with these Jews, how they act by their weddings, by their ceremony." Again, if you go to Bali Tshuva or Lahavdil of Achav, also you go to somebody that's not allowed to, but somebody that's not a Jewish, you could probably hear a pin drop. So you could say all kinds of limud zchus because they live in small homes, so they need a little bit. No, they have something to get out a little bit by the chasna, because everybody's living in small homes. So, what's the limud zchus? Okay, there should be all kinds of limud zchus. It's always a big mitzvah to lamud zchus on Yidden, but it's also not a mitzvah to ignore the problem of their chayrutz. It's not a mitzvah. What's the that the Bali Musar, what Rabbi Yochum gave over to the Rabbi Chaskel, the Chavetz Chaim, what Rabbi Sal Salanta, what they gave their lives, they gave their blood for this. That a guy should go home and say, you wouldn't believe what a circus it is by the Jews. What a circus! I'm at their wedding. It takes me 15 minutes to quiet them down. So of course, the Lomus Chusis, they were so happy. Everybody's excited and all. The chasn and kala, whatever. Because it's a circus. The whole thing is a circus, and the circus is carrying over from chasnas and lalena to also to levayis. Is that if there's no derech eretz, it's no derech eretz here, it's no derech eretz there. The talking, the carrying on, it goes on in shul. So why shouldn't it? If it goes on in shul, why shouldn't it go on by? In shul, there's a kedusha's beis haknesses. You go to the chuppah, there's no kedusha of a beis haknesses. And so if they're talking, if you're talking in shul, why shouldn't you talk by chuppah? Why shouldn't there be a commotion by a chuppah? In shul, there's no derech eretz. Where does it begin? To have a kid, you could have a kid that could be the bima, and our kedusha is on the bima. I remember where I used to daven where I lived, not before I came here, and you have kids lying with their bottles. Kid lying with a bottle by the bima. No one says anything. Ain't oim of anything. Kid lies with a bottle like a shikha. By a baby. And when the shul started, and there was a parent, there was a father that brought an infant into shul and was changing a diaper with a serious inyan in it. Was changing the diaper in the shul. And I commented, I said to him, I went over to him afterwards, I said, it's not the right place. He never came back to shul. He called me up Moshe Shabbos, and he said that you have a lot of nerve telling me that what to do with my child. That he says to me, a child belongs in shul. I said, not a baby with a dirty diaper belongs in shul. He said that. So who are you talking to? A child with a diaper belongs in shul. I don't know who it was. There was a maisi here. Somebody had a little kid. A little kid, like 2 years old, and is trying to stoop the 2-year-old into groups or something. I don't know. Tamarif told me there was a tumult in the shul. Somebody is trying to stoop a 2-year-old into the groups, and the twos with a diaper and with all things. And the leaders, whatever they say, they can't be metapel in this kid and with this kid. And the father's all angry. And he said, I brought my kid to groups, and why can't the kid be in groups? And they say, my kid's changing diaper and making trouble and whatever. So where does this start? Where does it come from? Where does it come from, such a svara? Where's the svar come? I'm sorry, I went over time. Where's the svar start that the wife is tired, Emes? She works hard, Emes. She's busy up at night with the children, Emes. Where's the start to send a child to go with the husband, to send a 2-year-old kid to go to shul at 8:30 in the morning with the father? Where does that start? Where does it come from, such a svar, that a baby belongs in shul? Because I want to be able to rest. Would our mothers and grandmothers have ever in the world such a svar that I'm going to send a 2-year-old off to shul at 8:30 in the morning so the father can't daven and the kid is making in the shul? From where? And she wants to be able to have a Shabbos morning. It's coming to her. We all forgive her a nap. She shouldn't be able to have a little bit of menucha. You figure it out, like we've been figuring out for thousands of years. You don't send a kid with a husband at 8:30 in the morning to shul. How's he supposed to daven? And then he starts yelling at the kid. What's the kid's fault? If the kid had brains, the kid would say, what are you bringing me to shul at 8:30 in the morning? What am I doing over here? I'm supposed to be climbing all over my mother and making trouble at home. You bring me to shul, so I do that over here. That's my malach, you understand? I make trouble. I'm 2 years old. I make trouble. That's what I do. If you bring me to shul, I do it in shul. If you bring me to the house, I do it in the house. So what the women are saying is, do it in shul, don't do it at home. So then you ask me, where does it start? In the home or in the yeshiva? It's got to start before they get the yeshiva. It's not all of a sudden yesh me'ayin. But they're carrots. Kadmul Torah. Okay, Mr. Shemuel, try to feel good to end like this, but Mr. Shemuel, we'll try to be better and we'll be bigger about the Derech Eretz and have more Torah. Next Derech Shabbos, there's no Shia. We'll continue to Shem, following Derech Shabbos.